Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Righteousness endureth forever. His honor, amen. Can you say that with me? And his horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. And we praise God for this wonderful anointed and appointed broadcast brought by the ways of Blog Talk Radio entitled Manna from On High. We have read on this glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, December 23rd, 2018, for your reading consideration and your soul's edification, Psalms 112, standing on the promises of God. For God is not slack concerning his promises of greatness and goodness upon those who love and trust him, who walk in the ways of righteousness. For even the time of temptation, we shall not be moved. We shall be. That means we've been predestined to be like that tree that is planted by that water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and we shall not be moved. And we're thanking God this morning for just being God, and beside him there being none other. I am your teacher, motivated by the power of God's word through the unction of the Holy Spirit, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Esquire, coming to you to let you know greater days are coming quickly before us. That's right. And don't give up. Don't give up, because things weren't that good. And when they improved, they could have been better. But I guarantee you, standing on the promises of God, the best of God is yet to come in your life. No matter where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., whether you're in Europe, you're in Africa, Australia, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Canada, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. That's right. God knows no boundaries because he's omnipotent. That means all powerful, omniscient, all knowing, and omnipresent at every place, at every given time. For he is God, and beside him there is none other. God is not a religious proliferation or denomination. He is a spirit, a universal spirit, the creator of all things, both great and small. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you worship God in spirit and in truth, you know no boundaries. God will perform that which is impossible, because he's God. He's all-powerful. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, anywhere at any given time, and everywhere at every given time. And he's endeared to those who call upon him as God. Trust him this morning. I know that many times we put our trust in people and in situations and even circumstances and promissory notes that people have granted unto us, and it didn't go through. And as a result, you became discouraged, despondent. You gave up, and you said that, you know, in your haste, all men are liars. But it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in mankind, because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And as we're going into what the world deems as the Christmas season, let me tell you something about Christmas. Christmas is a standard that the world set as a way of giving recognition to the birthing of our Messiah, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But let me tell you something. Christ lives within all of us who have taken on his name, who have believed Father God had sent his only begotten Son to redeem us from the curse of the law. So through his blood, we are redeemed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. All our righteous deeds and actions, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. They're not honorable to God. It's only through the name of Jesus Christ that we attain privilege from our Heavenly Father, so that when Father God looks upon us, he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, our covering, Jesus Christ. But we know that he was born unto us, a son was born and a child was given, and the government laid upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and to his peace there shall be no end. We know that he came. But he came on a mission to redeem us from the curse of the law and to free us from the penalty of sin and eternal separation from God the Father. Now, it is through his blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why it's through the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed, we are atoned, we are at one with God the Father who created us. And we become inducted back into the heavenly family with all the benefits and privileges of God's children. And this is where we are today. We are the missionaries. We are the carriers of God's word. We are the apothecaries. We are the ministers. We are the evangelists. We are those that go about in the vineyard and work so that our Father will reward us, and we reward the kingdom of heaven by bringing in those who were lost back into the fold. Not because of our goodness. We know no goodness. But it's through the righteousness of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, that men and women are compelled by the power of God's word to come back into the favorable status of their existence. And with long life shall he satisfy us. And with good things, Jesus didn't come to strip us. He said, behold, I came to give you life and to give you that more abundantly. So as we're taking recognition of these things, let us continue on in the faith. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the truth. And praise God for the power of his word. And want to give you another word of consolation this morning, and a word indeed of deliverance as it relates to the power of God's presence. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 113 for your listening consideration and your soul's edification. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God's name is worthy of honor. It's worthy of glory. It's worthy of all praise. The second verse, Psalms 113. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That means perpetually the praise of God should be within our hearts, from the greatest thing that he does with us and for us to the most minuscule things that we oftentimes take for granted. As the old world idiom says, you don't miss the water until the well runneth dry. Sometimes God has to take us out of our comfort zone and get us into that framework of thinking and recognizing that little things mean a lot. That's probably the opening of your eyes, the movement of your limbs, the ability for us to breathe freely and independently without labor intensity every day, that our lungs are in perfect health, that our bodies are operating according to God's word, that our minds are functioning. That's why that we're able to do the task of the day, being thankful. Third verse, from the rising of the sun. That means from the very time that you get up in the morning, instead of complaining about all the labor intensity that you're going to have to put into the day, thanking God that you're able to operate to do the labor intensity of the day. That's right. For God's grace is sufficient unto us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Until the going down of the same. That means in the evening when you're coming back in from the day's work or from the other operatives that you may have to perform in that day. The name of the Lord is to be praised forevermore. That's right, because it was of God's mercy that you were able to get through and to do what was needful and necessary of you to do. For the Lord, this is the fourth verse, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. That means that God's glory outshines any and everything that is on this earth and beyond this earth, whether it's the celestial plane or the earthly terrestrial plane. God's glory is effervescent. It is perpetuated. It generates miracles into your life, into my life, into the way that the world is operating. And if there was ever a time that this society needed redemption, that time is here and now. Men's hearts are failing them from the ranking of the government all the way down to the municipalities of our local cities and communities. We need the power of God to shine forth and let the power of his anointing transform the very epitome of society today. Who is like unto the Lord our God? This is the fifth verse. Who dwelleth on high. There is none like God. That's right. Whether it's a family member, a friend, a co-worker, an associate, there is none like God. For God speaketh his word, and he keepeth his word. He watches over his word to perform it in the lives of all they who trust in him instead of trusting in them. It is far better to put your trust in the Lord and let him bring it to pass other than for you to go about and establish your own way. The word of God tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but at the end of that way, there are the ways of death. The first thing you're saying, well, you're trying to tell us, teacher, that you mean that you'll just die out, a person dies out. No, we're not talking about a physical death. That means a death of your dreams. Your dreams just being battered and scattered and fragmented, your hopes being just denigrated and disintegrated, your ability to operate and to be victorious is limited. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about the limitations that sometimes this society sets us up for failure. That's right. And how we overcome that is through the words of our testimony, speaking the affirmation of the word, I am loved. I am blessed. I am prosperous. God glories in my prosperity. God is with me. He loves me. He sends his angels to watch over me. He keeps me. He gives me what to do in the times of question. He gives me joy in the time of sorrow. He is my hope for here, now, and tomorrow. God is. And he raises up the poor. Oh, I love this scripture, the seventh verse. Seven represents the completeness of God's promise. He raises up the poor out of the dust. That means the very reckless of society, the lowest echelon of individual who people look down on, who spat upon, who judge unfairly. So God raises us up out of the dust. That's right. He delivers us. He prospers us. He gives us food to eat, a place to live. He gives us clothing to wear. He gives us our perfect health, our mind, so we can be focused upon him, that we glorify him in our prosperity and our progressions. He raises up the poor out the dust. Cast not away your confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward. and lifted the needy. That means those who are lacking, who is constantly seeming as though they're at the very bottom of the totem pole, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. Many of you probably have heard about the dunghills when you've lived in rural areas. They didn't have the septic systems installed within their housing residencies. So they had to use a place where they would, you know, allow the deprecation of human beings and of animals to be placed in a hill far away from where they live. There's no lower place to live than a dunghill. He raises the needy out of the dunghill. He gets them out of the mess that they're in, and he fits them in and sets them up. Who brings them up and brings them out? They don't even smell like they've been in the dunghill, because this is God we're talking about, the universal, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God that created all beings, both great and small. He lifted them out the dunghill. He gets them out the mess that they're in. He picks them up. He cleans them up. And he shows us up and shows us out to show them that he is a God of miraculous power and intervention. That he may set him, this is the eighth verse, with princes. I mean, put him in position, put us in position, put us in powerful places so that we may exalt his name amongst the principalities, that we may set the standard that society needs to follow. Even with the princes of his people, that means with the most respected and revered dignitaries, God sets us with them so that we can show them to the light, because many of them are living in dark places. That's why they're not honoring God with their words and with their lifestyles and even their deeds. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. That's the reason why he raised us up out of the dust and raised us from the dunghill, cleaned us up so he could set us up to we be blessed and prosper and to bless those who are still struggling despite the positions they may hold in society. That's right, and this is the God that we love and the God that we honor here on Manna from on High, listening audience. And the ninth verse, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. What is our writer saying? He's saying that he takes the woman who may have been deemed as the outcast of society, the least likely to achieve because she made some mistakes along the way. And women get far more mistreated for the mistakes that they make than men do. That's right. Men are oftentimes overlooked, and women are being circumspected. That's right. Not only by other men, but by other women, and unfairly judged. But said, God, having mercy upon the woman. That's right. And maketh her to be blessed and to be prosperous and progressive in her deeds and in her doings because she has honored him and given him praise. That's right. And for this she shall prosper, and all that she doeth shall prosper. Even those up under her wing that she teaches, to those who she ministers to, through her substance, through her presence, shall be blessed as well. So the blessed continue to share the blessings. And this is what God wants. This is the universal plan for mankind, that we be blessed and that we share the blessings of our blessings with others so that we may bring them to the fold of righteousness, so they may know that God is alive and well despite what the world is doing. That's right. Jesus told us, I am the victory. Through him, we have the victory to overcome this world, and even greatly so, our faith. Our faith is that anchor that allows us to wheel in and to receive the greatness that God has instilled for each and every one of us. And God is not slack concerning his promises. And when he speaks it, it has to come to pass. So God bless you on this wonderful day. Enjoy the day. Be blessed and share your blessings. For we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For God is able to do that which is impossible. And know that God has a plan for you. Continue to listen in for Manna from on High, heard on the Broadcast Radio Network. I am your host and your teacher, inspired of the Holy Spirit, Abby A. Phelps, known as D. Esquire. And I say to you, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, because he strengthens us for his divine purpose, that we may show forth that God is alive and well, and that we are blessed, and we will continue to share our blessings with mankind. We look forward to coming with you again in a time of fellowship that is so well needed, especially on this week and even the following weeks to come. Be blessed and continue on down the King's highway.